The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.
Wrestling to the Max, Monday Night Raw, review.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Wrestling to the Max. This is, of course, the Raw review for July 17th, 2017. And we, of course, are brought to you by W2Mnet.com as well as 411Mania.com. And don't forget, maybe you've already forgotten or you've already done it already, but go ahead and go subscribe at Wrestling to the Max wherever you find podcasting. Also, you know, W2M Network is also available. If you love everyone over there at the W2Mnet.com family, that'll get you all the podcasts that we have to offer. Plenty of wrestling, video games, sports. I mean, my God, entertainment, everything under the sun. Go check that out now. Of course, I am Gary Vaughn, and your host is Mr. Paul Leeser.
Heyo.
And Paul, we got an interesting Raw to jump in tonight on this Raw review. Of course, you know, we finally understand what's going on with Kurt Angle. We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll be getting into some other things that have kind of made us think about a few other situations going on the Raw brand. So let's dive in, man. We've got a lot to talk about.
You know, there was, we'll just open with the big one, because I think this might have been the most interesting thing on the show. And even then, it wasn't really all that interesting. Kurt's big reveal, he comes out about two-thirds of the way through the episode and says, you know, in the WWE, you handle your business in the ring, whether you have a fight or whether you have something to say. And he reveals that when he was in college, he dated a lady, found out that she had a baby after he had graduated, and that kid was a great athlete, just as he was smart as he was, and turned out that he also wanted to be a wrestler, and he's here in the WWE now, so he introduces the newest member of Raw, his roster, or, you know, his show now, and his son, Jason Jordan, shocker, I guess. there wasn't really a lot of things this could have been other than this, or having an affair, and I'm a loud sigh of relief, I think they went with this.
Well, maybe. You know, this was something I was really looking forward to because I thought they were actually going to bring something super compelling, super interesting, like the way they were building it to, right? I mean, this whole secrecy behind the scenes of, man, you know, what do they have going on here? I mean, how in the world is this situation going to crush his family? It's going to crush his career. It's going to do all these bad things. I don't know. It kind of made me a little bit upset because I kind of felt like the balloon just got deflated. I get it. You're right. I mean, maybe the whole relationship and the whole, you know, scandal of maybe a lady being involved, if it's Stephanie McMahon, if it's Bailey, if it's someone else involved in that situation. Yeah, it's scandalous, but maybe that's a little bit too overdone. But the son thing, it feels super, super stamped on with Vince's signature. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if maybe I'm looking at this the wrong way, Paul, but I like the idea. I mean, Jason Jordan is an interesting wrestler. He definitely needs something to do, especially if they're not going to be using American Alpha. And having him in this situation is not critical, I think, to his career or to anything else, but I still don't know if I love this as being the reveal. Maybe I just expected more. I don't know. I expected something really hot.
You know, if this went the other way and it was an affair with Stephanie, or if he was in a relationship with an old boss like Dixie Carter, which I didn't think they were ever going to do simply because that would require WWE to have to acknowledge that TNA exists, and they don't do that. So
yeah, that's true.
Unless he was like sleeping with somebody on the roster or something like that, I don't know if there was a ton more besides this that they really could have done. And it's not like this was that big a deal anyway. So I get that they hyped it up to be something that it wasn't. But on the flip side of that, if it was Stephanie McMahon, I wonder how many people out there would have groaned or something like that, because, you know, now it's Stephanie back on Raw again, and here comes Triple H, and here comes the Authority all over again, and it's just old hat. And I wonder if that's what they're thinking in the writer's room, too.
You know, and probably so. I mean, like, you know, we were discussing, you know, back when this whole thing was kind of revving up. I mean, it's the fact that, you know, there is history there with Stephanie. There's some other things going on there. But really, what direction can you go when it's, especially between Triple H and Stephanie? I mean, you're going to split them up? No, you're not going to do that. It wouldn't work. They couldn't do that, really, because they work so closely together in actual business in real life. It'd be very difficult to do something like that. And to present that on TV where you're bringing in Triple H to basically battle against another old legend, these two guys going at it wherever, SummerSlam, wherever, it would be one and done. And then the next thing you know, it's just like, well, where do we go from here? At least this is something you can grab onto and kind of carry into the future. I just don't know how this is going to have momentum past here, right? Mm-hmm. To me, I'll use this example, or maybe in a way for myself to understand it too. This has been a roller coaster ride, and what I mean by that is week in and week out on Raw, we've seen Corey Graves come out and really think this is oh my God, you know, this is something really serious. You need to know about it, Kurt. Kurt's, his reactions, all these things. It's that, man, you go up and you go a little down because, you know, 1 week of Raw was interesting. The next week it's like, wow, really, what is this? And you go on that roller coaster ride, and we finally got to the pinnacle, and then you got the drop, and you go back into the station, and you're thinking, well, there goes all the momentum. I know now what the result is. Maybe I didn't like that ride as much as I wanted to. I want to try it again. And I think this is the next lap of that ride. Is it going to be good? Is Jason Jordan going to be doing things that are kind of like Kurt Angle-esque? I mean, is he going to be out there using the Angle Slam? Is he going to be trying to be Kurt Angle in a way without being Kurt Angle? I don't know. Are they going to be trying to mix this up with other storylines to make us interested? I don't know. I just hope that the momentum that they kind of lost here is actually continuing on again. I kind of feel like we're at a station, like we're at that train station. I don't know.
I do find the choice of Jason Jordan to be interesting, because I would say out of the two from American Alpha, not that Chad Gable looks more like him, because obviously Jason Jordan does, with all the memes going around of Kurt Angle next to the picture of Charmel and Jason Jordan being under them. But Chad Gable, I think, is more charismatic, at least as far as promos go. Jason Jordan really struggled to find himself for a long time in NXT before American Alpha came to be. And I would say that he grew in the ring a lot more, but I don't know if he really has the chops to carry himself promo-wise. And, of course, I really hope he proves me wrong, because I do love him inside the ring. But promo-wise, he's never been all that impressive, and I feel like you're going to need a lot of that ability to try to pull this off.
I think you're right. Okay, so if people listening, if you didn't get a chance to check it out on the network following Raw, they actually had the sit-down interview with Renee Young, Kurt Angle, and Jason Jordan. And I was really wanting to tune in. I trust me, I turned my network on way before Raw was even over, right? After I heard that they were going to have this, I was like, I have to see what Jason Jordan's going to say, what Kurt Angle is going to say, and how are all those things that Paul just mentioned going to add up? Because really, Jason Jordan was never the mouthpiece of American Alpha, save like 3-4 words, and he's done. Right. How is he going to react? I think on that, you kind of still saw that he is very much green when it comes to being in front of a camera live, being able to speak. I think really what he was doing here was very easy, if you ask me. He was just basically telling a story. I think anybody could kind of pretend for a few minutes on the story that he was giving. It was not a hard story. He didn't give a lot of information, very surface related, didn't give you anything really you didn't kind of guess happened. So that was very simple, but yet you could kind of see he wasn't really comfortable in his shoes. And that's going to be multiplied when he has to actually mix it up with storylines and be really engaging with other wrestlers, being engaging with Kurt Angle, being engaging with those interviewers when they're popping up questions that maybe he's not sure what to say, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that there is a lot of bit of worry here about Jason Jordan and being able to carry on and use his own skills instead of using someone else to kind of put out the word for him, being the mouthpiece. I have a feeling Kurt Angle is going to kind of be his mouthpiece until he does get more comfortable. I don't know, but I mean, just to me, with this whole thing, the only thing I can think of is why they're doing this, to add some more flair to what Kurt Angle is. But not only that, to have a guy that Kurt Angle can kind of mentor, maybe, and maybe, like I said, be the mouthpiece, and he doesn't have to talk as much until he's ready, I think.
I think there's something to that, right? I think I'd be worried a little bit about leaning on Kurt too much, just because, obviously, I'm sure that's going to create a lot of daddy's boy scenarios and stuff like that, watching and you know, getting into stories and all that for Jason going forward, but I mean, realistically, you want the rub from Kurt on Jason, but you don't want it to, you know, like with Charlotte, like we used to talk about when she came down with Ric Flair, that really became a very large central part of her character, simply because Ric Flair was doing so much around her that she was sort of, I don't want to say an afterthought, but she wasn't exactly what that entire act was about. So I think, I mean, I'm sure Kurt is here to help along with promos and whatever else they want to do with Jason going forward, but they got to play that line pretty carefully, because they've gone overboard with it in the past.
Yeah, you're not wrong, and Kurt Angle's not exactly the strongest promo guy himself. Let's be honest. I mean, he's really
nowadays,
not. Yeah, you could definitely tell he's struggling at times on Raw as just a GM, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying he's the all-great be-all or anything to mentor this other kid, but at least he's done it for a while. At least he's kind of been given an opportunity to do it for many years, whereas Jason Jordan is just kind of fresh into this. And I look at this as also a possibility for many of those daddy's boy scenarios, because I think from here on out, you're going to have that. They set themselves up for it by putting them on the same brand. If this was on SmackDown and they left Jason Jordan on SmackDown, it's a lot easier to get away with not having that situation go down. But you know now that he moved over to this brand, that's all it's going to be, because Kurt's in trouble. He's in charge of this brand. And I kind of see that as being a negative and a positive. Story-wise, it could be interesting. Bad-wise, because I think it gets old very quick. And the only thing that will come out of it's really good is if it really sets up for a future situation for Jason Jordan or Kurt Angle in the ring against opponents that may be, you know, someone we want to see him face.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm right there with you. There's a lot of prospect here, and I don't want that to be lost in the fact of me sort of being ho-hum on all this. But I think they have an uphill battle ahead of them, and I don't know if they know that, or if they know that and they're just trying to get something going because they do like Jason Jordan a lot, which, you know, no surprise there.
Yeah, and they should like Jason Jordan. I think me and you both enjoy his work in the ring, right? I mean, he's a solid competitor. You know, maybe not the most, you know, compelling, but he's still good. I mean, you see his solid skills. I want him to do good. I've got to have the spirit like you, Paul. I've got to keep thinking the words you tell me every time we talk NXT on our review shows for that. Let's think about the Velveteen Dream. You got to give him a chance. Mm-hmm. You can't just let this go. You got to give him a chance. So, yes, my balloon was deflated tonight. This announcement did not blow me away. It is ho-hum for me as well, Paul. But I'm going to have to give this a chance, and let's see where it goes. You know, sure, I would have loved some kind of really scandalous thing in Jerry Springer moment, but it just wasn't that, and I have to be okay with it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go ahead and move on, and let's talk about the other big thing that was bringing people to the show tonight, and that was the number one contenders match between Roman Reigns and Samoa Joe. They get a couple promos throughout the night to run each other down, talk about how much they want to fight Brock. They're the main event tonight. They have a really, really good match. And it goes 20 minutes or so, which felt every bit of it at times. And other times it just kind of flew by, because these guys are actually pretty good with each other and all that good stuff. It's not going to matter, though. There's not a winner, because here comes Braun Strowman. He's running everybody over. He attacks Roman. He attacks Samoa Joe. The referee pretty much throws the match out, even though I don't think they ever officially announce it. But Braun pretty much leaves both men down in a heap after beating the holy you-know-what out of them for about 5 minutes. if this is a triple threat for a number one contendership or something like that, that's cool. If this is a four-way at SummerSlam, that's cool too, even though it's, you know, Raw gonna have two of them. That could be a little weird.
It could be a little weird. I think a couple of weeks ago, I kind of said, it's fine. You know, at least they're good competitors, and there's no one that you're really going to throw away out of any of those four-way matches. But I'm with you. I'm kind of back down to the fact that maybe the four-way wouldn't work. A triple threat, sure, but I kind of want a singles match. I don't care who it is. You know, it's Braun, it's Roman, even though we've seen that a lot now. It's Samoa Joe, it's Roman, or even Roman out of the picture. I don't care. I just would rather see the singles match at this moment. And if it is a triple threat, I can get over it, right? I can move past that and just, you know, deal with it. And I think that's where they're kind of leaning towards at this moment as we sit here tonight. I thought the match was fun, interesting for the fact that, I mean, lots of hard-hitting action. I think Samoa Joe just once again going out there and showcasing how great he is. Roman's doing his job. I mean, as much as the crowd hates him, as much as I'm not a big Roman fan myself, Roman does his job, and he does it pretty good. I have to give the guy credit for the fact he's not bad. He continues to apparently work hard because everything he does, for the most part, is pretty decently smooth. I mean, I don't have any complaints about him in the ring. It's just the fact that I'm not sold on just the Roman Reigns character. If I can get over that, I actually could probably enjoy watching the guy more. And so you get a decent match here. You get the interruption. I think really what you get out of this whole thing, all three guys come out of this looking good. Yeah, sure, Braun Strowman is the guy walking out tall, and I think that's great. I'm becoming more and more a Strowman fan. I think that they're doing great things with him. They're showcasing his power. They're giving you everything that you want if you're a Strowman fan. And I think also Samoa Joe, Roman Reigns, if you like those guys, you walk out of this happy too. Sure, they weren't the ones standing, but, man, they put on a battle. And honestly, they shouldn't be standing, so I'm completely fine with this. Not a bad main event here, and they really do bring up some compelling things, and it makes you wonder where they're going from here and how they are going to set up things.
Yeah, see, if you ask me after this episode of Raw, I think the four-way makes more sense for the Universal title than it does the women's title, just simply because, sure, you do have all four women sort of circling each other, but the story right now is very much on Sasha Banks and Bayley, which we'll talk about after this. Whereas this, Samoa Joe wants Brock, and, you know, Joe is also willing to just murder anybody in his way. Reigns and Strowman obviously still have beef, seeing as, you know, Reigns attempted to commit manslaughter on Braun Strowman, and this was his revenge and all that. So I think there's a much larger intrigue for these four than the women. And I don't mean that, you know, badly. It's just, I think this is the hotter story right now, and it helps that so many of them are doing, you know, going above and beyond performance-wise, for sure.
Well, you're not wrong. And the reason you're not wrong is because, let's be honest, how many people are really excited about seeing Nia Jax get in the ring?
Yeah.
I mean, not that she's bad. I'm not hating on her. I'm just saying, how many people legitimately are like, oh, man, I just that's the match I'm waiting for because Nia Jax is going to be in the ring. I don't know that many people that are that excited. Heck, I don't know that many people really honestly excited right now about Bayley. And as much as, of you know, I've been a big fan, enjoyed her work, I don't know that many people at this moment who are super excited or hot about that. I think we can all sit here today and say, man, I want to see Braun Strowman, Roman Reigns. I want to see Samoa Joe. I want to see Brock Lesnar. I want to see each of those guys, whether it be one, two, or all of them. So that's what you get from all that. And I think that's why your point is very valid. I mean, all those guys on the poster mean something when it comes to the main event. And when you're talking about the women, I think that they work hard. I think they do a good job, but it's just not as compelling. There's not as much of a power effect there. I think, you put some other people from, you know, maybe from SmackDown, and you mix up a four-way, there you could maybe make it possible. But for the women they have on Raw, no, not right now. It's not that powerful.
Yeah, and like I said, it's just, I think it's more performance-wise, and obviously the gentlemen in the Universal title picture right now have been given a lot more time, and have probably been getting a lot more of the focus But for the women tonight, Alexa Bliss takes on Bayley. Bayley ends up getting the win after some Sasha Banks interference to take out Nia Jax, who came in to distract Bayley. So this does obviously still look like a four-way too, but later on in the evening, Banks and Bayley come into Kurt Angle's office. They both make their case why they should be number one contender. So Angle agrees with both of them and puts them in a number one contenders match next week. So it'll be Bayley and Banks going one-on-one. I, honest to God, would not be surprised if Nia runs in and attacks both of them and we just, you know, rinse and repeat.
You know what? We think alike on that because I kind of saw that coming. It's going to happen. It just would shock me somehow, some way, if that does not take place. The one thing I will say is I like the underlying tones that we have here, because the tones that I think we get between Sasha and Bayley is the fact that they're such good friends and there's some things going on there. They love each other, but they do care about that women's championship, right? They do want to be the top in the division. And I love when you had them talking to Kurt Angle. They were very, my friend Bayley, very playful. But when it came to Kurt Angle saying, you'll face each other, notice how they got so quiet. Notice how the demeanor kind of changed. It says, all it is, I'll see you next week. And I kind of think that there are some underlying tones there, and I think that can grow and get to the point where you've said for a long time that those two are going to have a big match, and SummerSlam could be that place, and it would not surprise me at all. I think there's a way out of that Fatal 4-Way. I think they can get out of it. I just think it's going to have to come down to some other things, and it, maybe even if it's Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss really not getting along, you know, maybe all of them just kind of just shatter, and it's everybody for themselves. That could be something else that kind of causes us to turn a different way. But I think that the underlying tones that we get between Sasha and Bayley is important. I think we need to pay attention to that. And I am worried about this rinse and repeat thing. I kind of hate that. I think it's monotonous. I don't know that we really got a strong feeling out of the women's division tonight because the match was short. There wasn't a lot talked about them tonight because of all the other things they had going on. So I don't want to, you know, say anything bad about it. I'm just saying I think it could have been forgettable for a lot of people. I mean, honestly, if you walked away from your TV during that maybe 10 to 15 minute span, you didn't even know they were on TV.
You're exactly right. And, you know, it's not on the talent in the division because Alexa Bliss is great. I think, Bayley can be great. They just haven't written her very well like we talk about all the time. And Sasha Banks is awesome and they're just on Nia right now. And, you know, I think one way or another, this probably still ends up being a fatal four-way just because it seems like they've invested so much in that for them to back out before SummerSlam would just be a little silly at this point. But if they move the title beforehand to either Bayley or Sasha, I could see that as being a way to try to get out of a fatal four-way just because you have that rivalry there and it's already made. And you have Brooklyn, and you have all this history with those two there, and, you know, why not? Might as well, you know, and you can have Alexa and Nia do whatever on the side while those two finish out whatever, and then you can go on with life after SummerSlam. But I don't know, this one seems much more set than maybe the question mark they have over the Universal title right now.
Yeah, and you're right on, and I'm okay still, I guess, with the Fatal 4-Way for the women. I really don't know if I want to see it as much as I do what we were talking about with the main event with the guys.
Yeah.
If it happens, it happens, right? It'll all work out in the end. But I think you get a lot more excitement out of Bayley and Sasha because of that history you just talked about. Is it going to be okay if they don't? It'll be okay. There's always future times. There's also WrestleMania. They can always build from here. And next year's WrestleMania, make that feud so hot going in that people are really going to care what happens. And maybe even Bayley and Sasha themselves said, we did Brooklyn. We did it right. Let's go somewhere else. Let's do WrestleMania together. And I think that would, honestly, it's not a bad idea either.
Yeah, for sure. So I wouldn't have a problem with that either. I'd love to see him go at it in Brooklyn one more time, see if they couldn't recapture the magic. And you know that crowd's going to be hot. And if they do it for the belt, all the better, you know. So.
True, pretty sure.
Let's let's talk about this other segment here with Dean Ambrose. He opens the show tonight. He's calling out The Miz and his Mizdirage because he wants to pick up where he left off last week with the chair that he brought out with him. And he really just, really he's out here to beat the crap out of him. This brings Seth Rollins out, who says, you know, Ambrose, you're all over the place, you're a scatterbrain, you really need a better plan here because they have the numbers game on you and they've proved it time and time again. And this leads to them sort of bickering back and forth. They bring up the Shield history. Ambrose still doesn't trust Rollins, and Rollins sort of goes nuts on him, says he's sorry, he's had to live with it every day, and, you know, if you want to get a free shot at revenge on me, go ahead and take it. Ambrose sort of looks down at the chair and considers it, but then he throws it to the floor, which brings out Miz and his Mizdirage, and then we get the whole, you know, beat down on Rollins and Ambrose before... And then Miz puts Rollins down with the skull crushing finale onto the chair. This could be a handicap match, I guess, going forward, even though I could see this turning into Miz against Seth or something like that, but I don't know. I don't know if I care, you know? Really don't.
Wow. Yeah, and you know, it's really tough to care for the fact that, wow, this has been done so many times, throwing in Seth Rollins, who didn't come off exactly the hottest feud. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to revisit the Shield without the entire Shield.
Right.
I don't know that really brings out a lot of great nostalgia. It doesn't completely work. And as much as I want this to work out for the fact that I want to see not really Seth Rollins, or even, I have to say, Dean Ambrose, maybe even The Miz, do anything great. I want to see Bo Dallas, and I want to see Curtis Axel do something that matters and really get us pumped up a little bit about them and let them build some of the real estate, build their stock up, you know, make their presence known in the WWE universe. That, right? I mean, that's what I want. I want them to get their stake in the ground and say, look, we're here, and we're not just going to be, you know, here for another year and then we're on the indie circuit. I want these guys to really do something. And I think the fact that the crowd, I don't even know if really cares too much about what's going on here, if really is going to give the rub to those guys. But outside of that, I'm with you. I'm watching because it's on TV. I'm watching because we're following to see what this could all end up being. But I just don't care, honestly, who wins or who loses, right? I mean, I'm guessing Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins have got to get the chance and are going to win. But I don't know. I just don't know, Paul. I don't see where this goes right for anyone.
Yeah, and I mean, if they do go looking for a third guy for Seth and Dean, I mean, you can't go to Roman right now. He's obviously embroiled in a whole bunch of stuff near the top of the card. Do you does Kurt maybe offer up his son to right a wrong here? Do Dean and Seth find somebody else from NXT? Do they find somebody else on the main roster who's maybe not doing anything right now? I don't know. And like I said, frankly, I don't know if I care. Like, this is just so overdone at this point. Miz needs a new opponent. Dean needs a new opponent. And sticking Seth in here doesn't really do a whole lot for me.
No, he doesn't. And, you know, your idea of a third person joining up with those guys, there's no one really on the Raw roster that I care about joining them. Like, I can't, right now, off the top of my head, I can't think of one single person. I mean, Jason Jordan, throwing him in there just because, still doesn't make me care. NXT is always exciting for us, people that watch NXT. Now, I don't know if anybody else, the casuals who don't watch NXT, if they would even care if they saw, you know, maybe Drew McIntyre. Maybe that's a guy that they all remember. That would be something interesting to throw him in there. But once again, he comes in cold. I mean, it's really just him showing up to show up. So, and anybody else from NXT showing up, it's not really that great. So I don't even see that. I have a feeling, Paul, we're going to walk out of this saying, okay, thank God that was over. Let's get to the next thing. I don't even see you throwing a wrench in here or lighting a fire to make us care about this whole thing.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I don't know of anything they can do short of you know, butchering somebody on live TV that might get my attention with this right now. So,
yeah, I mean, it would take like Dean, like grabbing Maurice's dress and falling down or something like that to make people care. Right. Mm-hmm. Besides that, no one cares. All right. It's done.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I agree with you entirely. Let's move on here. Enzo comes out later on the night and he's, doing his usual stick, talking about how he keeps getting knocked down and getting back up. He runs down Big Cass some more, puts a couple burns on him. Cass finally has enough. He comes out, plans to beat up Enzo. Enzo runs out of the ring, goes into the crowd, and announces that Cass is going to face the Big Show. This never really gets started. They exchange a whole bunch of blows and have a big, you know, brawl, and that's really about it. Big Show does get his nose broken or something breaks in there because he's a little bit of a bloody mess as Cass runs away. But I you know, this is what was going to happen. And Enzo doing the same promo over and over again, I don't know how much it's entirely helping him. But to me, this was largely forgettable. Like, there wasn't really anything, I think, that drew you in that really made you go, oh, hey, that was a nice new step, or hey, that was a fresh direction, or, you know, whatever. It's just more of the same.
It goes back to your rinse repeat comment. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're doing the same with this. And here's the thing, I like Enzo Murray. I do. I think that, you know, his whole gimmick is kind of fun. Mm-hmm. Problem is, it could be annoying. And I think we're getting to the point where the same promo from the same guy talking about how much he misses his buddy and how things went wrong and all this. And sure, you throw in a few things like, you know, he sure didn't get us any wins, you know, and he's supposed to be the main guy. You know, all this kind of stuff. That kind of stuff is good to throw in there to mm-hmm. basically point out, Kaz, you blame me, but you're the guy that's 7 foot tall. You're the guy that's supposed to be the strong guy, and we lost still. I do like that. But besides that, it's just a little bit getting on the side of annoying for me. I'm kind of done with listening to this whole speech. I think that the good thing that they did here for Enzo is to have him go in the crowd and sit down and grab a kid that has his little headband hairpiece thing. That's good. It shows that there are fans that still love Enzo. It kind of shows, you know, the family-friendly side of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, though, it's whatever. And, you know, the one thing I guess you can say that's good for Kaz coming out of this is he looks strong, able to, you know, beat up on Big Show. That's mm-hmm. really good. You need that. You've got to have that to make this believable. I think that's like the only two things that can come out of this thing that good. The rest of this I just could do without. It's just overdone now. Let's move on and, you know, make this change up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't know if you maybe need to move on, but I mean, certainly Big Cass proved everything he needed to at Great Balls of Fire. I don't know if he has a reason to stick around. And it's not like you really care that Big Show is sticking up for your buddy because you don't really need to fight him anymore. Now, if you're just trying to prove yourself, then that's whatever. And maybe we need more from Big Cass talking instead of just Enzo, you know, doing the same old. But certainly, I think this needs some more heat for sure before I think I can get invested any more than what I am, which isn't a ton.
Yeah, and this is the moment where you kind of honestly miss Alberto Del Rio on WWE television, and that's because he could call Enzo Amore a perro. and it's the truth. I mean, he's a chihuahua. He's a sweet little dog. You want to, you know, pet him. He's cute. But at the same time, he's like barking and barking and never stops, and you're just like, okay, dude, I'm kind of done now. Let's stop. And I think that's the point where I'm getting at with Enzo. And sure, he doesn't have to be the focus in the ring. That's the change up here, is the fact that Big Show gets to be that guy. They've really got to figure out something to where maybe, like you said, Big Cass does more of the talking, or maybe they do less talking. Maybe they just have Enzo out there, you know, supporting Big Show as the rest of this feud breaks down, and let it go where it's going to go. Outside of that, I just kind of tired of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Agree with you entirely. So let's go ahead and move on there. Finn Balor and Elias Sampson have a rematch. This goes to a DQ after Elias hits Finn over the head with his guitar and kind of breaks him open a little bit. This was fine. It's nothing great. Bray Wyatt shows up on the screen afterwards, says, he didn't see, Balor didn't see any of this coming. Now he's real hurt. Bray is ready to move on and hurt Balor and punish him for the number one contendership, thing that he lost a couple months ago. Bray, sort of just sends it home by saying that he's no myth. He's worse than a demon. So you already know where this is going. This is plainly written on the wall. And, as much as I love Finn, as much as I love Bray, they don't really have a lot going for him right now. This is another thing I was struggling to connect with.
I'll just start by saying Elias Samson once again comes out of this looking good. Doesn't have to finish another feud. His life is pretty sweet. I mean, he can start things, get into a few matches here and there, but never has to really finish the feud. He can just kind of, be a drifter.
Right.
And just move on to the next thing, and that's fine for him. He comes out of this looking strong. Finn, doesn't look half bad himself. So this feud now. Bray Wyatt, Finn Balor. Demon versus God, I guess, he calls himself a God. I don't know. Like, this is something I wanted to be excited about. I really did. And this is a feud, like you said, the writing has been on the wall for quite a long time now. We've been expecting this feud. It has just been there. The problem is I think with both these guys and the situations that they're in, I don't know how excited I can get, and I'm not sure how excited anyone else is getting about this. Mm-hmm. Bray Wyatt just came off the most boring feud that I've seen in quite a long time. Finn Balor has been in limbo, just sitting around, wrestling a few matches, but really never back in that main event spot. I don't know, Paul. They're going to have to really work on this, and you can't depend on Bray Wyatt's promos. That's another thing that we can say, yay, great, but we've seen it too many times. We need something else. And so they've really got to build this. I don't know. I don't know how they're going to build it. I don't know how they're going to make us care more about what's going on here.
I really don't either. So hopefully this is just sort of a short little one and done sort of deal. I highly doubt it is, because that's just not how WWE works anymore. But it'll be cool to see Finn put on the makeup again. That's really all the good I have coming out of this, honestly, because I don't wager the match is going to be good. I wager Finn's going to win, because it seems like they're trying to keep him as strong as possible while he's waiting in the wings for the dust to settle around the Universal title. And, it's just sort of there. It's just sort of hanging out,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing. I think both these guys, and the fact that they've both been in around the main event picture, around the, Universal title picture, that's great. I think that they've really got to find a way to make this really matter for us to kind of continue on believing those guys are in that realm. And they can do it. It's just they've got to write some things in that really make us care, maybe really make us hate Bray, maybe really make us curious if the demon's going to come out. Those kind of things are going to make us really feel like this is valuable. Otherwise, we're going to go into SummerSlam just saying, okay, here's, a match just there. What else? What else do we have? And I don't know.
Yeah, I agree with you. They got to try something out of the box here, I think, to try to get us into this, especially if they want it to feel different, which both guys have the gimmick to do. They just got to let them go out there and do it,
Cool question for you really quickly. Okay, so you've got Bray Wyatt, a guy, that appears, disappears, all that magical stuff. You got a guy in Finn Balor who shows up in makeup. He's the demon, and that's great. I love it. Trust me, I'm not making fun of it, because I think it's great. I think it's really cool. The one thing that I kind of thought, and maybe it may be a problem for production, but I really would love to see maybe Bray really screws over Finn, like does some things, really mean things, beats him down with a chair, and then the lights go out and he's gone. What if they could find a way in that darkness, because of this pitch black in the room at the time, if they can find a way to get some kind of paint on Finn Balor when the lights are out, to where it feels like the demon's starting to come out, like he's starting to get angry, and you kind of see it. Maybe some marks on his face or something like that. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That seems like it could be pretty difficult. For me, I think it would be much more interesting, and this would have helped if Bray had won at WrestleMania for sure, but Bray sort of being out there trying to collect powerful things to make him unstoppable, and him like trying to pry the demon loose from Finn and sort of like suck away his power or something like that would be really, really interesting. I'm into the crazy over the top stuff like that though. And I think it could work on WWE TV these days. It's just they seem really shy to go that far, and especially when it has to deal with sort of like dark stuff. So I don't know. I'm probably just talking into the wind on that one, but there's, unless they go to that supernatural stuff, which I really feel like, you know, one, Finn's never really relied on the supernatural side. The demon is just some deep, dark part of him that he brings out whenever he needs to take care of business. And they haven't really gotten into exactly what all that is. So maybe this feud could be a way to explore that.
Yeah, and you know, that's true. We don't know. I mean, they may have some great things in store. We're just, you know, seeing the beginning of this and kind of expecting the same from WWE. Maybe they can change their minds. Maybe, you know, we'll be talking about this completely different in a few weeks. But we'll see. I want some of the big changes. I hope it works out.
Yeah, for sure. Before we get into the tag team division, let's talk about these cruiserweight things. Brian Kendrick and Drew Gulak team up to take on Mustafa Ali and Jack Gallagher. Little bitty short 2.5 minute match. Ali and Gallagher do end up winning after Ali hits the imploding 450 on Brian Kendrick. This is basically filler, so I don't know really how much there is to talk about there. Later on in the evening, Akira Tozawa takes on Arya Daivari after Daivari insults Tozawa's honor once again backstage. And this leads up to Daivari working over Tozawa's shoulder for most of the match, which is already hurt from all the beatings that Neville's given him with the Rings of Saturn. Daivari hits a divorce court and then a running knee strike and just keeps on attacking the shoulder, which forces Titus to throw the towel in. This pisses Tozawa off to no end, yelling he's never quit in his life. He didn't want to start now, and he's super, super upset. So they get a promo later on, too, with Tozawa wanting to face Daivari tomorrow on 205 Live to sort of avenge the loss. I like what they're doing, because Tozawa is sort of a big feature right now on what they're doing, both on Raw and 205 Live. And it seems like they do want him to be something. And this kind of felt a little odd, you know, because it's still a fresh pairing, and then suddenly you're throwing a monkey wrench into it already. I don't know. You know, I don't really know. This feels like something maybe you do later on down the road, but if they can find a way to pull through this, or maybe they're getting gun-shy on Tozawa on, you know, the Titus Worldwide thing, I don't know.
Yeah, and I'm going to touch on that. Let me quickly just say something about that first match. That way I can just get out of the way. You know, Ali and Gallagher, great faces win. I thought that was kind of sloppy. I think the end part there was really sloppy. I don't know. I just didn't like it too much. It is what it is. Okay, so now let's talk about something that's actually important and something that's kind of interesting, and that is what you're talking about here. The Titus brand has been a situation where I think you can be really interested in it, or it can just be something that's just kind of there. And I'm actually kind of interested in the Titus brand, and I want to see how they promote it and how Titus really does his clients right or wrong. And we haven't really seen from a lot from Cruz lately. Of course, he just had a new baby, so that's why I think they haven't really had him featured. But Tozawa, the guy, like you said, has been heavily featured on Raw, heavily featured on 205 Live, and right there in that Cruiserweight Championship, you know, situation. I think this is interesting. I think that maybe there could be some teasing of him breaking away from the Titus brand. But then again, I think there's a lot more that they can hold on to there. And I think that Titus O'Neil really kind of set himself up great at the end when they shot that second video and really showed him talking to Tozawa saying, look, man, this is about your future. Like, I'm not just going to sit there and watch you be out and then you're not going to be wrestling for another, you know, month or for a year. I want to see you stick around. So I just took you out of that situation. I need you on your game. And Tozawa is kind of playing by his rules, and he's kind of saying, well, look, that's fine. Okay, I get what you did, but I want to wrestle tomorrow. So I think that tells you that you need to watch 205. And this was so cool about it, that they've kind of found a way to get a guy that people care about to do some things that we're considering to be bigger on a show that not a lot of people watch. And so I'm happy about that. And this is actually kind of compelling for me. I kind of want to follow this. I want to see what Tozawa does and how tomorrow night's going to affect the Titus brand, how it's going to affect Tozawa.
Yeah, I think you nailed that on the head, right? Like, this does create a very interesting situation for sure. And I love the fact that Tozawa is really at the center of all this, because for the longest time, the Cruiserweight division has just really felt like Neville and whoever he happens to be fighting. And now it really feels like Tozawa is the star of that entire division. He's getting the most play. And if they're going to do a title switch, I think it's really looking like they want to put it on Tozawa. And I think that's fine, because I think he's really proving not only that the fans are interested in him, but that he can create interesting storylines without really having to do a whole bunch to really do all this. And what, you know, the fact that I feel like this is still kind of a misstep is there, but, you know, at least they're trying. You know, I mean, you can't say that for a lot of the guys that have come along in the Cruiserweight division. Like, they're really taking a chance on Tozawa, it feels like.
Yeah, they really, you're right on that. And, mm-hmm. you know, two is better than one. Right?
Right.
Neville's a big star on the cruise in the Cruiserweights. He's a big star on 205. Adding Tozawa, making him a big deal, making him feel really important, super awesome, and is a great situation for them, especially if they want to continue the Cruiserweights. And, you know, after, you know, he's established, and they got to move on to the next guy, you know, whether it be, you know, Tony Nese, whether it be Jack Gallagher. They just got to continue to build up that Cruiserweight division and make us really get super invested and make people want to tune into 205 Live.
Right. Exactly. So that really just leaves us with the Hardy Boys taking on the Revival. The Revival do get a promo and say that they want to take the Hardys out to make sure they get the respect they deserve. And they actually have a pretty solid match, about 14 minutes or so. Dawson ends up getting the pin on Jeff after pulling the tights. You know, you can start to see the ages catching up with the Hardys and all that, but they're still really, really good. And the Revival know how to work. And I think they really put that on display here, that they can, doesn't matter who's on the other side of the team, of the ring, excuse me, from them. They know what to do. This felt like a big deal for them. And, you know, whether Sheamus and Cesaro get involved in this going forward or not, I think the Revival and the Hardys really could be some nice piece of business here for the Raw Tag Team Division.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think you're completely right on that. And here's the thing. You watch in this match, and you see a team like the Hardys facing off against this young team that wrestles like they're from the 80s.
The exactly.
It's just brilliant. I love it. And it's just so much fun, because you see these teams going at it, and it's just that focus that the Revival have on working body parts, on holds, on staying grounded, whereas the Hardys are not completely opposite, but they're pretty much the opposite of that. They want to get off the ground. They want to do some crazy moves and really get things going in different directions, whereas, you know, you've got a really focused team facing them. I think this match was really fun to watch, to be honest with you. I really enjoyed it. And you're right, there is some age on the Hardys, but hey, still fun. I think it's also an excellent idea that they had here to show both other, you know, competitive tag teams watching this match. Sheamus and Cesaro sitting back there checking this out, seeing what's going to happen. And then, of course, you have, you know, Gallows and Anderson. You know, all of them have to care about this, because these guys are somebody who matters. Both tag teams are definitely big competitors for the tag titles. I think overall it made it feel important. I really do. And, you know, once they give you one of, you know, these kind of matches, I think it makes the fans care. And I think people are going to really get behind the Revival. I think, you know, the injury situation taking place and kind of taking the Revival off the TV for a good while, man. It's, was it 6 months, 8 months? I don't know. It feels like forever. They were gone. And them coming back, it feels like they really never left. That's what's awesome about it. I just kind of feel like they never left. They didn't miss a beat. And I hope the fans can see what greatness that they have to offer. Really good deal.
Completely agree with you all the way around there. I'm on the board with your Revival thing there, too. I love them. I think they're a great team. And, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And as much as I miss them and really think they could have been a bigger deal by now, they'll certainly get that chance with the Hardys here, who are pretty much the Raw tag team division right now, you know. So,
yeah, and you know, saying that too, I want to mention the Revival. These guys and their promos, they're not old. They're just great. Mm-hmm. I think that's something else that's going to put them over. I just had to throw that in because I think that's something else that their game that's going to make fans care about who they are.
Yeah, absolutely agree with you 100%. I think that pretty much does it for all the content on the show. We just got to put a number on it, Gary. So what are you going to give it?
You know, here's the thing. I think there were some great things that came out of this when it comes to the tag division. We just talked about that. I don't want to say much more about that. I think the main event was good. I really appreciated that the top three guys come out of this looking very strong. That's wonderful. Mm-hmm. Then you get to the rest of the show. I don't know that I was thrilled about the rest of the show. And like I said before, I don't think that big reveal for Kurt Angle really did anything for me. In fact, my balloon deflated a little bit here. I'm going 6. 6 is kind of where I'm at. I mean, a decent show. It wasn't god-awful, but it just kind of lacked a lot of meat where there were some splashes of good.
Lacking in meat is a great way to describe this show. I think the main event was good. The Hardys and Revival stuff was good. I was okay with what they did with Kurt Angle, even though it didn't feel like this big deal, as Gary was just mentioning. I think the stuff with Tozawa was fine, too. Everything else is largely a miss for me. Either I'm not interested, I don't care, or, you know, it's just not connecting, one of those three things, and That's a good portion of the show. Really, I think I enjoyed maybe about 45 minutes of it. The wrestling, however, was quite good on this show, so I think that does deserve some points. I'm going 5. For me, this is completely middle of the road, almost skippable, except for maybe the Kurt Angle stuff in the main event. And then I think the Hardys and the Revival and Tozawa, I think, depends on your interest. But those other two things, I think, are probably the only two things you need to watch from this week going forward. So, That's not necessarily one something to say about a 3-hour show.
Yeah, trust me. If this was any other show on TV, you'd be like, good God, I wasted my time. But, I mean, this is wrestling. So you can take away some good things and, hey, get to your next 3-hour show next week and hopefully feel a lot better about that one. That's what the good thing about wrestling is there's always an opportunity to have really good ones when there's some bad ones. But, yeah, I mean, that's the show for tonight for the Raw Review. We appreciate everyone who's came and checked this out tonight. It is awesome to have all you guys tuning in, and we love your responses. Maybe you agree, disagree with Paul or I said tonight. Make sure you go find us on Facebook. We have a Facebook group there called Wrestling to the Max. That's right. Just type in the name of the show, join up with that group, and you can join the conversation. Hey, and if you want, you can also throw a comment on W2Mnet.com under this episode, or if you're listening on YouTube and you want to say some things, hey, go ahead and put a comment on there as well. We appreciate all the feedback, whether it be great or bad. So, I mean, we love to read everything. You guys have some interesting things to say, and we are always interested in hearing them. Make sure, you know, if you don't know this already, go subscribe at Wrestling to the Max, wherever you find podcasts. Also, you can use the W2M Network channel, too. That gives you all the podcasts that we have to offer. But not only that, everything at W2Mnet.com. I want to thank everybody over at 411mania.com. We love those guys, and we appreciate them for everything. Besides that, we are done with the show. Once again, thanks a lot. We will catch you guys down the road.
Have a good one, guys.
The following podcast is a W2M Network original production. Visit W2Mnet.com for all of our other great podcasts, plus news, reviews, articles, and opinions from the worlds of wrestling, video games, football, and entertainment.